The coolest way to get through the summer heat is with a $69 AC tune-up from Vernon, the heating and cooling specialist. $69 to make sure your air conditioning is working at peak cooling. Vernon, the heating and cooling specialist. The name says it all. Because when you focus only on heating and cooling for 43 years, well, you get really good at it. And summer heat is when Vernon can show you how good with their $69 AC tune-up. Vernon, the heating and cooling specialist. Online at vernonheating.com.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Madeira Show, where he will discuss testosterone optimization and full body health for the high-performance modern man. Now, here's your host, Dr. Madeira.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Madeira and the Dr. Madeira Show, and today we have Dr. Dave Bennett, who is a chiropractic physician and functional medicine practitioner in Eastern Pennsylvania. And he states that he's a recovering attorney who took the opportunity to return to chiropractic college and then became a certified functional medicine practitioner. He actually has two practices in Eastern Pennsylvania, focusing specifically on metabolic syndrome, digestive dysfunctions, and chiropractic medicine. How's it going today in Pennsylvania, Dave?
Very good. Very good. How's things with you?
Excellent. Yeah. It's fall is already here, and actually snowed in Eastern Washington earlier this week. So it's kind of a shock to the Pacific Northwest how cold it's gotten, how fast it's gotten cold this year. But yeah, I mean, here we are. We're going to chat about the metabolic reset program that you use in your clinic and I use in my clinic, and kind of like your personal experience with it. Where you were coming from and what your motivations and what you were looking for to accomplish with that. Where did all this start for you? Were you looking for solutions when you were an attorney or after you started chiropractic school or after graduation?
Yes, to all of the above.
All the above, okay.
It started way, way before that even. I mean, I remember doing things as a teenager. Because I was on the heavy side. I mean, you know, it's, I'm 50 now. When I was a kid, you know, back to school shopping, you went in to Sears and you got those, jeans that were like sandpaper, but it wasn't that easy. Cause I was always looking for the husky, size. That's what it used to be called, the extra, extra, extra large. I wasn't super huge, but just regular sizes never seemed to fit well. You know, and that was just the beginning. I mean, college added on some more, law school added on some more, the practice of law added on quite a bit because of the stress levels, the lack of time. And then, you know, luckily I was given the opportunity to make a change from that and come over to chiropractic. You know, but going back to school for that added on a little more because again, you're back to studying, and you know, if you can get yourself a half an hour or 45 minutes to go to the gym, you were ecstatic, but your stress levels are through the roof and you're not eating that well, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then going into practice, and you know, I'd have those fluctuations up and down, it'd be always the same 10 pounds, 10 pounds up, 10 pounds down, a little better, 10 pounds up. But, you know, my family has a history of heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at them and I looked at my dad, and my dad was a prime example. He never was overweight, but still had the heart issue. So me being overweight, that just told me that I have, you know, a second nail, so to speak, in the coffin to head towards heart issues. But what really, you know, over the years, I had tried, you name it. I remember a cottage cheese diet at one point, you know, Nutrisystem, interval training, intermittent fasting, the cabbage soup diet at one point, you know, just throwing everything at the wall and nothing really was sticking. And, you know, when I would do those things, I would also, you know, add in more exercise. Okay, I need to go to the gym more. I need to do more cardio. Okay, I need to lift more weights. And it just never all came together. It was that same 10 pounds back and forth, back and
forth. Right.
Yeah. And then it sort of came to a head about, well, just coming up on 2 years ago. I was giving a workshop on autoimmune issues and natural ways to address those. And I give out a survey at the end, you know, so, you know, what do you like? What did you didn't like? What can we improve upon? What would you like to see more of? And then the last comment is a comment section, you know, whatever you would like to write here, kind of thing. And I got them back, and I use, my wife takes them, and then she gives them to me the next day, and she gave them to me, and I'm reading them. And I was like, we're missing one here. She's like, God, you really don't want to read this one. And she was pre-screening them for me. And this one comment sheet, survey sheet came back, and it was filled out with name, address, everything. And there was nothing on it except in the last comment section, the open-ended section, that said, you are fat. And it's like getting hit over the head with a ton of bricks.
Yeah, that, ouch.
Yeah, because, I mean, that person had to have been there for a reason that they were dealing with, or an issue they were dealing with. But all they could see was the fat doctor standing in front of the room.
Right.
So, you know, I was angry, frustrated, angry, irritated. And I took the survey sheet and shredded it. And I so wish I hadn't done that, because I should have framed it, because that was my kick in the butt to figure it out, find something that worked and that would work for myself first. And that's when we came upon the metabolic reset.
Excellent. Was it soon after that you learned about the metabolic reset and started doing it, or was it months? Or
it was about 2 months.
Okay. It's pretty soon.
Yeah.
That's good.
And we did a trial group of myself, my wife, who I'll say, I'll put this out there, that she didn't have that much to lose.
Right.
And I have a colleague of mine, a friend of mine from college, who I see once a year. And I sort of brought it up and said, look, here's what I'm going to try. And he looked like he was having the same type of issues. And he was like, sure, what do I have to lose? And we did it. I lost, I think, right around 24 pounds. He lost about 28. My wife lost about 18, I believe. And we were ecstatic, because it was a program that just sort of consolidated and modified other things I had done in the past, but wasn't overly burdensome with my life schedule.
Yeah, that's excellent. And one of the kind of things that I hear a lot of people say about the metabolic reset, at least for the first 6 weeks, and we call it the losing phase, is that there's recommended that there's no heavy exercise. And I'm curious how that sat with you when you're looking for a solution after looking for a lot of things and trying a lot of things that didn't stick. Was that something that didn't really make sense and did not compute for you, or were you just so desperate to find a solution you didn't care at that point?
It was contrary to everything you always hear. So it sort of set alarm bells in my head. And then you know, sitting down and listening to the explanation makes perfect sense. It may not be what you've heard in the past, but not adding in that exercise, because every time you do some sort of weight loss program, you, okay, I'd eat less, exercise more. So what are you ultimately doing? You're putting more stressors on your body, which makes it harder to lose weight. So when I sat down and thought it through, I was like, yeah, okay, I can see this. So, you know, for 6 weeks, I can stop exercising, because that was one of the major, I like the idea of not having to add in more exercise, because where to find the time in the day. You know, I have two young kids. I coach their sports. I have two offices, you know, and family life and everything. Where am I going to find another hour to go to the gym and do, you know, cardio or whatever I need to add in?
Right. Not a lot of free time for that.
Right. Right. That was a big bonus for this. And when you think about it, it makes sense physiologically. So.
Yeah. I'd like to break that down a little bit more for the listeners who maybe don't understand physiology of exercise and caloric restriction diets and things like that. Cause I mean, you're exactly right. Typically what people do or have done before they come and see us is a calorie restrictive diet of some sort, maybe intermittent fasting, and then they're doing chronic cardio and just burning up the adrenal glands more. Burning up the endocrine system more, which is already depleted, and, you know, getting their body into a state of more depletion, and then their body's wanting to, you know, kick up the fight or flight endogenous hormones like norepinephrine and things like that. And then they have this, you know, HPA axis dysregulation, like we call it in functional medicine and naturopathic medicine. Which basically just means that the brain and the adrenals are not tuned up enough to deal with all this chronic stress, and exercise is metabolized in our bodies as a stressor. So if we already are kicking out all this adipose around our bellies and our waistline from chronic stress and stress of our diets, exercise, chronic cardio adds to that. Also, since, you know, I'm a testosterone expert with men's hormones, chronic cardio is going to just crash testosterone levels. And we've seen that in the research literature where, you know, people are road biking, you know, hundreds of miles a week, or running, you know, half marathons and marathons, and they have lower testosterone than men who are doing weightlifting three times a week and, you know, eating like a paleo diet or something. So just so the listeners understand, okay, why are we not exercising for the first 6 weeks? What is that about? It doesn't mean don't move, like,
right,
get off the couch. You can do light yoga. I had a yoga instructor go through the metabolic reset, and they taught yoga 5 days a week, and they were fine. I've had people do other things, like, you know, they're walking their dogs, they're still doing all the stuff. It basically, we want people to move, but don't go join like a boot camp at the gym or, right, like sign up for CrossFit the same time you start the metabolic reset, or sign up with a personal trainer.
Spring when I first did it, and, you know, baseball season was kicking in, softball season was kicking in. So, you know, 4 or maybe 5 days out of the week, I was on a field somewhere, not necessarily running and sprinting, but moving and doing things. So, you know, I didn't stop that. I just kept it up. And I've had clients, men who, you know, have their hockey league they play in once a week. And what we've done is just slightly modified the day of the hockey game so that they have just a little more protein to be able to play their match and not be tired.
Right. So typically then, do we add more protein?
A couple more ounces of protein? That's usually what I do. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not a lot. Just not even like 2 more ounces.
Yeah, that's not a lot at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were fine. And they, in fact, the gentleman I'm thinking of, we didn't even complete the 6 weeks. He reached his goal in 4.5.
That's awesome.
Pounds. Yeah.
How many pounds did he lose in 4.5 weeks?
I think it was like 21 point something. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
that's impressive.
On goal. Yeah.
That's awesome. And for you, how many times have you gone through the 10-week metabolic reset program, and how much weight did you lose the first time? And then if you did it another time, how much weight did you lose?
I did 2 rounds. I lost 24 pounds the first time, roughly right there. And then I just hit about 48, I believe, the second, a total of 48 on the second round, which got me right down to where I wanted to be. And now I sort of fluctuate right around there. So, and, you know, it's not, we went on a trip of a lifetime this past summer, and, you know, it was a cruise, and people were like, oh, you're going to put a lot of weight on. And so I had a client who told me she actually did the program starting right before a cruise, because where else do you have a personal chef for you for every meal? And
yeah,
she crushed it. So I was 13 days on the cruise, gained 0.2 pounds.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's impressive. Usually people gain, you know, 30 pounds
on a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
You know, and it's not hard. People are like, okay, well, how do I weigh myself? Well, you walk into the spa or the gym and say, where's the scale? Because they have one.
Right.
You know, and that's where I'd sort of regulate what I was doing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I have people travel domestically, at least, while doing the metabolic reset program. People working, you know, 60 hours a week with kids,
yep.
Working 2 jobs, single moms with kids, you name it, working multiple jobs, you know, writing a book, working multiple jobs, all kinds of stuff. And what I've seen is that people usually have brain fog that they're not aware that they have. And they're used to wondering where they park their car in the car garage when they're at the mall. They're used to wondering where they put their car keys when they're trying to leave the house and they're running late to an appointment or work. They're used to all these kind of little blips in their memory and their brain breaking down, which we know that type 3 diabetes is from metabolic syndrome. Type 3 diabetes becomes dementia, is dementia, and neurodegenerative diseases are on the rise. And that's kind of where we're all headed, is cardiovascular disease, cancer, and neurodegenerative disease. And the doctor who wrote The Emperor of All Maladies, the oncologist, Dr. Siddhartha, and I forget his last name because it's a very long Indian last name, but he says in The Emperor of All Maladies, or in a podcast, I think maybe it was with Dr. Peter Attia, that we do know that cigarette smoking is carcinogenic. We're all aware of that, but being overweight or obese is also a major carcinogen to our health. And we know this from the literature. So doing something like the metabolic reset, you know, we're protecting and potentially preventing cardiovascular disease, diabetes, reversing diabetes, reversing high cholesterol, hypertension. And all this has already been documented in case studies with ourselves and our colleagues, as well as getting people off of statin medications that decrease testosterone and cause other issues for brain health and mitochondrial dysfunction. So for the listener, if you want to prevent, it's not always, I mean, yes, losing weight can be the goal, but preventing genetic and environmental and lifestyle diseases like cardiovascular disease and diabetes, this is the way to go. And it's 10 weeks of your life. And you know, maybe you do it once a year for a couple of years and tune yourself up. And then you can kind of find a steady state. what I've seen is that people just, it's like kindergarten for nutrition. Like people don't understand portion sizes. Like we forgot portion sizes in the US, you know? It's kind of like, okay, absolutely, we're going to measure this thing because, you know, your stomach is like as big as your fist. And, you know, we're all used to supersizing everything, right?
I don't get a piece of chicken that hangs over both sides of the plate, you know?
Yeah. 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 It's like they have these, what are they, like the Brazilian steakhouses where you just eat like an 8-course meal and it's just meat after meat after meat and right, you know, some vegetables here and there. And I mean, I eat meat. I'm not dogging yeah, meat, but it's, yeah, we like to supersize things. We're a culture of excess. So, it's, you know, kind of setting not just the metabolism, but kind of like, okay, this is a normal or a healthy portion of meat. And
I'm on a city street in Virginia, standing in an empty parking space where just last night, Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded.
I'm here in my living room peering through my mini blinds at a man who's sawing off something under my neighbor's car. Yep. This guy is stealing catalytic converters, and if you report thieves like him, you could get a reward up to $25,000. Just submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. That's H-E-A-T. The Virginia State Police HEAT Program. Reported. Rewarded.
Fruit and vegetables, and if you're vegetarian, then you can adapt it, but... most of us, myself included, I grew up in Vermont in the northeastern part of the U.S. And Ben & Jerry's, if people don't know, is from Vermont. Ben & Jerry were Vermont hippies and they started Ben & Jerry's back in the day. And we would, after basketball games in like fifth grade and fourth and fifth and sixth grade, we would go to Ben & Jerry's and we would get something that at the time, I think they still have it. It's called a Vermontster. And it's basically like a large metal bowl that you would like mix something up like dough or a cake batter or something like or pancake batter or something like that. But they fill it with ice cream of your choice and then toppings of your choice. And then we all just eat out of that. And then we got to the point where my brother and I were eating about a pint or two of ice cream in one sitting twice a week.
Wow.
By the end of sixth grade. And after eating almost half a pizza and then two sodas. So I just share this because, you know, I grew up in the culture of American upbringing and where, you know, my parents were well-intentioned like most parents and, you know, we ate vegetables, we ate things, but the foods that are easy to consume, that are habit forming, that are the food industry knows are addictive and shelf stable, are the foods that make us all sick. And diabetes is, as I like to say, no offense to anyone with diabetes, but it's not a disease. Like hepatitis is a disease. It's a lifestyle issue. And if you have type 2 diabetes, if you have type 1, that's autoimmunity and that's a separate issue. But lifestyle obviously plays into all of the above. but you know, what we've seen, and maybe you can speak to this with your patients, what are the amazing things that you've seen where people maybe reversed some things beyond just weight loss, whether it be getting off certain medications or seeing improvements in blood tests or whatnot? What are kind of some of the surprises initially when you started doing metabolic reset with patients in your clinic?
So me personally, my blood pressure always ran high. And now it's, you know, 115 to 120 over 80, over 75. So the weight was definitely the main contributor to that. You know, and it will fluctuate with stress levels. But just recently, a woman who is a diabetic type 2, her blood sugar readings were 274 on day one of the program. at about the 3 week mark, we hit the 100 on her morning readings.
That's awesome.
She is, and we've stopped monitoring. She's past the 10 weeks, but she's still fluctuating between 80 and 90, 95 every morning.
Fasting glucose, blood glucose every morning.
Yep, good. Absolutely.
Wow.
And her, you know, her endocrinologist, her primary, they're just like, okay, we got to start getting you off some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's good. You know,
it's too much. And she is sticking with it because she also dropped 20, 22 pounds, something like that. But that was, you know, I hate to use the word side effect of the weight loss.
Right.
Because side effect has a negative connotation, but there are good side effects. And that
side benefit? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Side benefit. There you go. That's yeah.
It's like unexpected, you know, rewards.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. Had another client. A1C was 11.1 right before we started. We finished. It was down to, I think it was 7.4, 7.5. She did one round, but she continued on with the eating habits. And I followed up with her. It must have been about 6-8 weeks post, so that would be about 18 weeks after we had started with her. Endocrinologist statement, because she had been referred from her primary to an endocrinologist who followed her up, and then she had just recently seen him, and they said, why are you here? Like 5.4 for her A1C reading.
That's awesome. That's
and
great.
That's considered normal. Not pre-diabetic, nothing. So she went from, you need to go get medication, to you don't need to even come see me anymore, which is, you know, those are great.
Awesome.
That's great stuff to hear.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we do what we do, you know, and we're, you know, putting ourselves out there, and, you know, we're both entrepreneurs and committed our lives to.
Your recent post about Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hashimoto's client, you know, always told lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. Well, that's really, really hard. She went through the program. She lost just shy of 20 pounds. Went to her primary. This is a funny story. The primary usually does the blood work and then just calls her with the results. The office called and said, the doctor wants to see you. And she went in, and the doctor was like, what did you do? These are awesome numbers.
That's awesome.
You know, so, and she's like, you know, she told her what she did, and it's like, tell everybody you know about this, because this is great. You know,
that's so awesome.
A lot of those side benefits are just phenomenal. And, you know, the gentleman who was my first with me, the first test, I'll call it. He lost, let's say, 28 pounds in the first round. He never did any further rounds. He just added an exercise, stayed with the eating habits, and he's down over 70 pounds.
That's amazing. In what time period?
Now, that's strung out over about a year.
Still, it's wow. Yeah, that's usually unheard of. And what most people tell me who have done, you know, Weight Watchers, or they've done some of these other, you know, super calorie restricted, ideal protein, other stuff, and I'm probably insulting a bunch of people out there, but I don't care. you know, suck it up.
If you haven't ticked somebody off by noon, you're not doing your
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, we've seen, you know, both of us have seen a lot of people try these things, and our colleagues and have tried these things, and they haven't worked, and they gain the weight back because
it
didn't reset the metabolism. It didn't reset the biochemistry of the hormones and the brain and satiety and things like that. And the other things for the listeners that really affect energy and hormones, but one of the two biggest things are, you know, managing your stress or having outlets for stress to blow off that steam. in healthy ways, because a lot of us men are conditioned to do it in unhealthy ways, and then sleep. And I see a lot of people who during the metabolic reset, who tend to, when they start to plateau, usually something's happening with their sleep, or they're, they may be following the diet aspect and the food aspect 100%, but they're not getting enough sleep, and their stress has completely skyrocketed for some reason. So,
right.
And oftentimes that can be, you know, things that people may not think about, you know, beyond just work stress, but, you know, it could be relationship stress or things that maybe people are conditioned to that are normal for them, but their body still is registering as a stressor. So
I know you monitor your clients' weights as they're entering them into the electronic record system, same as I do. And I'll see a little jump, like, you know, 0.2 jump, or staying the same for a couple of days. And the inquiry is, so what's going on in your life? That's where I always start. And invariably it comes back with, you know, oh, you know, stressful days at work, you know, different stressors. And, you know, how's your sleep? Not good. Okay. So we need to get over these couple of days. We need to figure this out and get you back on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's amazing to me, because I've been listening to on Audible the book Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker, the PhD at Berkeley, he used to be at Harvard. And it's amazing how much we have put sleep on the back burner, and how important it is for brain health, for heart health, gut health, everything. Literally everything, anything and everything. That if you want to be healthy, if you're a bodybuilder and you want to maintain muscle mass or get, you know, bigger muscle mass for a show or a performance, or you're an athlete.
I'm on a city street in Virginia, standing in an empty parking space where just last night, Bob's car was stolen. Did you see Bob's car get stolen? Probably not. But do you know who's been stealing cars in Virginia? You could get a reward of up to $25,000. Submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. The HEAT program from the Virginia State Police. Reported. Rewarded.
I'm here in my living room, peering through my mini blinds at a man who's sawing off something under my neighbor's car. Yep, this guy is stealing catalytic converters. And if you report thieves like him, you could get a reward up to $25,000. Just submit a confidential tip at heatreward.com or call 1-800-947-HEAT. That's H-E-A-T. The Virginia State Police HEAT Program. Reported. Rewarded.
You're a guy who is concerned about low testosterone. Sleep. Just sleep. Sleep more.
Yep.
And you know, it's amazing how much in our culture we... more so than other cultures. I mean, you were just on your trip and your cruise in Europe, and where they have kind of built in times where, you know, they work hard and then they rest and then they eat with their families and friends, and they have built in kind of enjoyment time in their schedule. Where in the US, what I see, and I work in Seattle and in Whitefish, Montana, what I see in both places is that whether someone's a farmer or working in corporate America and the tech companies in Seattle, and we have all the tech companies plus Amazon up here in Seattle that they have in Silicon Valley and then some. And it's everybody's too busy for their own damn good. And what I often think is like, well, you can't take it with you. So what is this all about? You know, like what is, you know, I don't want to like people to bite the hand that feeds them and their families, but really re-examining our lives and thinking, okay, if this is going to make me so I'm not healthy enough to go to my child's college graduation, or I have a family history of heart disease, like we both have, what am I doing to prevent that from happening? Because that is like our gravity. You know, if we do nothing, that's where we're headed for our health. And most people think, well, if I just go on a bike ride on the weekend, or if I just try not to eat, you know, sugar I'll be okay, even though I have metabolic syndrome and all this stuff is happening internally. And you talked about Hashimoto's thyroiditis and autoimmune disease. You know, what I like to say is, well, your autoimmune disease and your metabolic syndrome doesn't care if you're too busy. It's still doing the damage to your body and it's accelerating exponentially. Well, you are overworking. It's actually pushing it harder into the disease process. And eventually there becomes a state in pathology where there's no return. You know, where metabolic reset is not what's going to be happening. It's going to be, oh, you're going in for to get a second stent in your coronary artery. You're going to the cath lab. You know, you're going to cardiologists. You're getting surgery. You know, then there's cancer. And all those things are heartbreaking and expensive. Whereas if we stay on the preventive side, functional medicine, naturopathic medicine, preventative, preventing these chronic diseases, then we can, you know, save people a lot of time, heartache, and money. And I think stressing the heartache is key, because I think of some of my family members as they aged, they couldn't remember where I lived and I grew up around them, and, you know, they still live to their late 90s, but not having them remember what was going on in my life when they were some of the smartest people that I had ever met and probably will ever meet, lose their brain and their identity and kind of like their bearings of reality is just gut-wrenching for a whole family system to kind of swallow that and deal with, not deal with, but cope with the grief around that. And if we can use lifestyle medicine and, you know, 10-week metabolic reset may be challenging, but what is more challenging is dealing with alternatives, which I just kind of went over excessively. But I just like to make that point, because a lot of people think, okay, well, like, we're just talking about weight loss and no big deal and it's fine. I don't need to do this. Even though I have about, I think I have 10 or 12 pounds to lose. Well, you know, that 12 pounds actually could be 22 pounds. And if you're able to reset your metabolism, maybe you can prevent yourself from getting diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And I used to be an EMT, and one of the things I got to do during that time period is shadow some of the general surgeons in the hospital I was in Northern New Hampshire. And I watched a gentleman get an above the knee amputation, which is rare, by the way. Usually it's below the knee joint, and he was diabetic, and they, you know, he had gangrene on his leg. And that's what happens with diabetes, is eventually you get peripheral neuropathy, diabetic neuropathies, and eventually lose your limbs. So, and then you have a prosthetic or you're in a wheelchair. So I think it's good for us to remember, if, especially for people who aren't already going to the hospital and they think, well, it's never going to happen to me, everything's going to work out.
I'll tell you a little heart story, I'll call it, from my personal perspective. So I had done the program, and my 8-year-old said to me, "Daddy, this is so much better, because you don't come home from the office every day and go to sleep watching TV. You have energy. You want to play." Now, she picked up on that at 8 years old, and what was going on. I didn't see it, but, you know, it's never strictly about the weight. The weight is there, but why you want to get rid of it are other reasons. And that just, you know, when she said that, it was like, and again, another ton of bricks hitting me. And that was like, I'm not going back there. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it just, to me, it seemed, I mean, I've dealt with chronic illness much of my life personally. So what I'm attempting to do here with you today is to elucidate the realities of where this goes when we do nothing about things. And I have a lot of patients that are working hard, long hours, and they have kids like we do, and they're, you know, super busy, and they're really skeptical that they're going to be able to do the metabolic reset. And I guess what I have to say to that is anything worth doing is not easy. You know, it's not easy to get up when you don't want to get up in the morning and go to the gym or go to work. It's not easy to stay diligent about a healthy diet. But it's a lot harder to deal with the consequences otherwise. And I mean, you know, I had a gentleman who has a child, married, works very long hours, doesn't really have any time to exercise, did the metabolic reset program, lost 27 pounds, was able to come off their statin medication and stay off of it. And their lipids are stabilized still. They gained back maybe about 8 pounds because they kind of fell off the maintenance plan for a little bit. But for the most part, they've kept most of the weight off, and everybody around them is raving about, how did you do this? You know, oh my gosh, like, I want to know so I can do it, or my friend or family member can do this. And in his work, he's around a lot of people, and everybody's has noticed this over the last 8 months or so of this great accomplishment. And I mean, my feeling is that if he can do that, then pretty much anybody can do it, because how he can't even get in, you know, 2 workouts a week, but he could do the metabolic reset, you know. The other thing is that really that I see really help people is, you know, if you are married or you're cohabitating with your significant other, is if both people can be on the same page, and even if the other person's not doing it, but can it kind of like help you with meal planning and meal prep. It's just easier to have 2 people kind of going through it, whether it's a coworker or best friend or significant other, to kind of have a accountability partner, so that when you have that, okay, I want to just binge eat on chips and popcorn or chips and salsa and watch Netflix for 2 hours tonight, they can kind of like help you, hold you back from that temptation or whatever your cravings are, you know, chocolate, et cetera.
Realize the benefits that are trickling down to your family around you. And I'll use another client as an example. You know, cooking the same things for the whole family on the metabolic reset, because you're not doing shakes, you're not doing prepackaged stuff. You are eating real food. So the trickle down benefit was the kids were enjoying it. They were definitely eating better than before. And son in high school, acne started clearing up. That's a big, big win.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, that's
a big deal.
And that's a circle back around to what you were talking about. You know, meals, and this, we sort of make meals an inconvenience versus like in Europe and other cultures, meals are the event where you sit down, you have family, you have friends, you talk. It's a de-stressor, a lifestyle, not a stressor with both the terrible foods and the speed we eat. You know, so you definitely, it's one of the things I try to teach my clients. You need to take the time to eat your meal, not just, you know, throwing it in the car or, you know, going through a drive-thru. You definitely need to sit down and enjoy that meal. And it doesn't take an hour. It doesn't take 2 hours. It takes 15, 20 minutes. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, when I worked in the men's health clinics, I had a 30-minute lunch break. I would finish my lunch in 15 minutes and then walk around the building, go to the bathroom, get back to work. I'd be back to work usually before the end of the 30-minute break, and sometimes within 20 minutes. So, I mean, you know, getting off our cell phones, having both our feet on the floor, you know, talking to friends or coworkers and enjoying our food. And like you said, not making it a chore. And I think a lot of us have been conditioned, myself included, up until probably about 4 years ago. Okay, well, this is just fuel for my brain and, you know, my muscles, and I'm just filling up the tank, so to speak, like a car.
Right.
and then I'm just going to keep going. And I used to run cross country, long distance running in high school. And what the coach told us was, well, you carb load before a race and you eat high protein meal after a race. So, you know, that's kind of like the old food pyramid where there's like all the grains and pasta at the bottom. And then you're just setting yourself up for, you know, pre-diabetes and metabolic syndrome and diabetes and heart disease. And, you know, I think they did away with that stupid pyramid, but they came up with something else that was dumb too.
Right.
But it's just, you know, they never really get it right. Because the food industries own the, that part of the government that's making up these little images for people to go by.
How many dollars in play?
Yeah. Yeah. All those special interests are running that machine. But I mean, the other thing is that I hear a lot of, and I don't know if you hear this, as far as objections, and I'm curious how you're working around this with clients or prospective clients going into the metabolic reset, is alcohol, where there's no alcohol during the metabolic reset, you know, no exercise for the first 6 weeks. And I mean, frankly, people like to drink everywhere I've ever been, and yep, they like their wine and their beer or whatever their beverage of choice is, gin and tonic, et cetera. And, you know, I'm not all about taking away people's joy or if they're having a good time with that, as long as they're not an alcoholic. But if, you know, you are at a point where you want to make big changes, 10 weeks is not a lot of time. I mean, you know, 10 weeks is just 10 weeks. And then, you know, and then people can go back to doing what they want to do, you know, whether it's having a drink with their buddies on the weekend or, you know, a beer when they get home from work, et cetera. I mean, even for optimal hormone health, I usually tell men, like, get rid of the IPA, get rid of the beer, because it's higher in hops. Wine, all wine in California is has glyphosate, and the wheat and the grains they use in beer is all dried with glyphosate Roundup. So not only are they spraying it to as the herbicide, but they're spraying it as a drying chemical now. And in Flathead County, they're still crop dusting, like it's, you know, like the 1950s or 60s or whatever. So yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement in the food and beverage industry. But if you're drinking, you know, conventional beers, you know, I know the hipsters like PBR and, the, you know, everybody likes their whatever, their Coors Light or whatever, Busch, Anheuser-Busch beers, all of those are just crap. So, and then all the California wines have Roundup in them. So most of it is just going to mess up the gut, cause hormone dysregulation, cancer. We now know Hodgkin's lymphomas. There's been at least 3 lawsuits in the last year against Bayer Monsanto conglomerate. Right. So, you know, we're talking about preventing chronic diseases and losing weight. You know, just get that crap out of your diet. But point being, if you still want to have a beverage here and there, you know, I usually recommend people take 2 consecutive days off a week to give the liver a break and not kick up too much estrogen with alcohols, especially for men. But I'm curious how you approach this with clients coming into the metabolic reset when, if they say, hey, you know, I like to drink, I go out every weekend with my buddies and my wife and I have a glass of wine every night at dinner. I don't really want to give that up. Like, what would be your response, or what have you seen work with clients around that?
So I'm pretty straightforward about it. You know, very, very upfront saying, look, it's 6 weeks of the losing phase, no alcohol. 6 weeks is all I'm asking. That's 42 days. So, you know, you can give up the glass of wine, the you know, 2 bottles of beer on the weekend, whatever it is, for 6 weeks. That's all I'm asking. Because if that's one of the things that my client wants to add back in immediately, I let them, because I'm still monitoring their weights on a daily basis.
Yep.
And I can say to them, look, what'd you do last night? Went out with the guys and had how many? 3 beers? And look what happened to the number this morning.
Right.
So it directly affects it. And I really like to have them do that during the maintenance phase when I can be right on it and come back and say, look, there it is. You know, you did nothing else yesterday out of the normal maintenance other than that. And that, look at this. And then they can see it and realize it. But if they're not willing to do the 42 days, I really don't take them on as a client, because I think at that point they need some other counseling, and maybe in regard to the alcohol.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think along with kind of normalizing not sleeping enough or, you know, eating certain foods or sugars or packaged foods, it's, you know, alcohol has kind of become like the extra dessert. And I think it's state dependent. I mean, I think it's fine if people are having like a great dinner and they have a bunch of friends over and everyone's laughing, having a great time. Whereas, you know, if some person's down at the dive bar and super depressed and they're just downing shot after shot. And obviously we can say what's healthy and what's not, but even so, if it's, you know, daily, that can become an issue. Even if someone's like, well, I can take it or leave it, but I like it to have two drinks every day. I mean, that can be a problem. I see that in the hormones kick up estrogen levels in men all the time. But yeah, definitely I've seen it in, set guys back during the maintenance phase. And the gentleman who lost 27 pounds, it was St. Patrick's Day. And I said, yeah, you know, go have like a green beer with your buddies, see what happens. I think he had one or two, and in that time he was hanging out with them and it was fine. He didn't gain any weight. However, when he went off to a vacation with his family, he said, he reported, I'm drinking a ton of, a lot of beer. I don't know what a lot of beer it was for him, but quite a bit. And he gained 8 pounds in that week. So more than a pound a day. So more than the cruise average.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I'm just sharing this all as information for people. You know, even if you don't do a metabolic reset, we're talking about changes you can make already in your life, and you can still enjoy a beverage here and there and enjoy time with people, but also realizing, okay, well, this is affecting my hormones, it's affecting my metabolism. You know, I had a personal trainer tell somebody I used to be friends with, you know, stop drinking wine, it's empty calories. That's why you keep gaining weight. And we're trying to work on, you know, toning up your body and a hard time giving up wine. So, that's a potential, thing that could make it harder for people to get results. And, you know, ideally, like you said, we only take on the clients who are 100% ready to go and highly motivated. But I've definitely heard from clients who have finished it that, you know, they've recommended it to their friends, and their friends or coworkers say, well, I can never give up alcohol for 6 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever. Which, you know, you still can add it back in later, see how your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
and what I've had clients report is when they do add it back in, it doesn't taste the same. Like, it's not as enjoyable. I don't, you know, like, it just doesn't, it's not the same as before. So they really don't go back to the same level they may have been in the past. But I want to just touch on something you said before, you know, other programs, and people have done those other programs. And I've had those calls with potential clients who said, well, I've done, you know, this program and I was great. I lost my 20 pounds. And as soon as I stopped their shake or I stopped their meals or, you know, I stopped their supplement, it came back, you know, and that's one of the key parts of this program, I believe, is the fact that there are no shakes. There's no prepackaged food. If I want to have steak, broccoli, and strawberries, you know, and this big salad with tomatoes and cucumbers and onions on it, that's the program. So,
you know, right,
it's real food. So I don't have to, did I get my order of 30 meals in today? No, I went to the grocery store and I bought what I wanted to eat.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point, because I'm sure people are wondering, like, what protein shake is part of this? And I've even had people say to me, well, like, people need a protein shake. And, you know, well, we were cave people. We didn't have protein, you know, we'd go kill the, you know, the water buffalo or whatever out there, and, you know, wild squirrels and whatnot. So, and eat bugs, and it's like the real paleo, right? So
yeah,
it's, you know, like you said, it is real food. And Michael Pollan, the journalist who's written a lot of books about the food industry and written the book, The Omnivore's Dilemma, always talks about eating food that rots and, you know, shopping the perimeter of the grocery store. And,
absolutely,
you know, we have a whole recipe booklet that we give to people. We have a whole instruction manual. There's coaching included. There's a lot of touch points, a lot of hand-holding in a good way. Through it, because it is new and foreign to people. And, you know, in an ideal utopian society, we would all learn this in kindergarten and our parents would already know it. But, you know, there's the forces that be where the food industry is, you know, loud with their huge marketing budgets, just like the pharmaceutical industry is. And they completely hijacked the food industry to make things higher in gluten and make things have a longer shelf life, so that they can ship them long distances and keep them on the shelf longer. Recently, I heard a friend in Montana say that they saw like a 18-wheeler tractor trailer taking a bunch of like the Hosties and all that like fake junk food that's usually in gas stations around the country. And they asked, you know, where they were taking it. And they were taking it to a feedlot and feeding it to the cattle. So, you know, when we talk about eating the grass-fed beef, you know, we're trying to have people eat, you know, how we always used to eat. It's not about being hip and trendy and, you know, all this stuff. So
if your great-grandparents looked at this program, they would say, okay, you know, it's exactly what we used to eat generations ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember, I mean, my dad's family's from just outside of Philadelphia I remember visiting his parents when they were probably in their early 70s in a neighborhood in Philadelphia, and they had an apartment, and in the back they had a garden, you know, and that's kind of foreign today and something that we all kind of read about in like travel magazines in Italy and the Mediterranean. And it's kind of like, oh my gosh, they all have gardens on these small places. And it's like, yeah, you know, like, organic wasn't even everything was organic. There was no, it was better than organic. I mean, organic, I used to work in an organic farm, and we were still using an herbicide that was allowed with the corn. So, you know, organic is just it's a label, you know.
You may have experienced with clients for other issues, because I know I have, you know, chronic constipation cases. When they travel overseas, those issues disappear and they become regular. And then they come back to this country and go back to the regular standard American diet, and boom, we're right back to chronic constipation.
Yeah.
Fresh and, you know, good quality food. And I did it with my kids, because my parents did it for me. You know, we have a couple 12x12s in the backyard, where they've been growing stuff since they were little. And, you know, people used to look at me like I was nuts, because they would just walk by and grab a green bean and eat it. And I'd be like, there's nothing on those beans. I mean, rain and soil is what we use. And, you know, you can do that. And that's letting them come to terms with knowing that there's one, hard work that goes into actually making food, and two, that there's a difference in taste and a difference in quality. And I think that's essential to pass on to kids.
I agree. Yeah.
Digressing completely away from.
Yeah. And that's so important. I mean, if more parents would do similar things. I mean, it doesn't have to be a huge project. I mean, we have like a planter box on our porch. We're growing zucchini squash and green beans and Yep. You don't have to have a huge yard. I mean, if you do, then I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, the other things that I wanted to kind of touch on is some other kind of side benefits, so to speak, as we're calling it, of the metabolic reset. Is I had a client who was kind of had writer's block, and they started a book, but they, you know, they're working long hours, two jobs, and a single parent, and then they started writing their book again towards the end of the metabolic reset, and they lost about 30 pounds. Were just feeling more positive and joyful about life. And one of the things that I include with the metabolic reset is a journal where people write what they're grateful for and kind of what they want to focus on that day and what would make the day great. So it really helps people, you know, improve mindset and gratitude. And we know that that improves dopamine levels in the brain, which is the motivation neurotransmitter. It's also been correlated with a connection with testosterone, which is exciting, but and men and women both have dopamine and testosterone. So point being is that, you know, we started today talking about weight loss and metabolic syndrome and metabolic reset, where there's all of these side benefits where, you know, people are changing careers, they're writing books, their brain fog's gone, their diabetes is gone, their, like you were saying, your high blood pressure's gone. I've had people had to resize their wedding bands, which, you know, may sound like a pain in the butt, but it's kind
I just laughed because, you know, I never was able to just get regular, I mean, regular clothes sizes, but, you know, extra, extra large shirts. And right before we went on that cruise this past summer, I was in Old Navy with my son and I was able to buy a shirt off the rack. And I wouldn't even have thought of looking for a shirt in there. And I saw it and I was like, let me try this on. And hey, it fit. I don't think I've ever bought anything in Old Navy. I bought that shirt because I could. I didn't really necessarily like it all that much, but I could, which is an awesome feeling. And I hear that from clients all the time saying, you know, wow, I have choices now.
Yeah, that's an amazing feeling. That's powerful. I hope that, I really hope that this motivates a lot of people to take action and reach out to you or myself or both of us and, you know, dig down and find that motivation to do something about it before, you know, they're getting to the point where they're on multiple medications and then surgery becomes part of their treatment plan. Because, you know, that's what this all becomes.
One more little story of a client, 23-year-old male, very heavy, you know, over 300. And I think it was over 300, but very much so. He's done two rounds so far. He's down over 60 pounds. But for a 23-year-old guy, that 60 pounds down the road has, you know, really changed his life path of where his body's going, where his mind is going, where his life is going. You know, and what I like to do is clients who are willing, I'll do interviews with them, unscripted, live on Facebook. And, you know, he's done a couple with me and he's just like, he cannot express the changes he feels throughout his entire life versus just, I lost 60 pounds. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, impressive. And I, to give people kind of a measuring stick or a template for how big that weight loss is that when I was in naturopathic medical school, I don't remember the class, but I remember them talking about healthy weight loss being a pound a week, no more than a pound a week. And obviously we've blown that out of the water because that's a myth. But, you know, to have somebody who, you know, at that age and the acne too, kind of throw that in the same category with a teenager with acne, a 23-year-old male being overweight to that extent, you know, that's a huge confidence booster to like clear up, you know, with your son, you're talking about the acne, and then this young man talking about the weight loss. Like that gives people so much motivation, from what I've seen anyway, for positive feedback to keep going with that healthy lifestyle, where a lot of other things that people may be doing with functional medicine practitioners and whatnot, they may be taking supplements or doing advanced lab testing like we do. Sometimes it takes a while to get that positive feedback where, you know, you have to wait for a lab to come back, or you have to, you know, wait for the next checkup to kind of see where things are, because oftentimes things are so subjective until you get a lab report, where obviously in this case, we're talking about things are very noticeable that they can notice. Right. And the scale where, I mean, I've had a lot of people say, well, this program sounds like it's, I hate this word phrase, but I'm still going to use it. They said it's fat shaming to share the benefits that my clients have had. I don't see that, but okay. Whatever. What I have seen is that people are getting a life that they never thought that they could have, not back, but they've gotten better, a better life, and been able to do more and have confidence and have the ability and a clear mind to do all the things that they thought were out of reach, you know, whether it's changing careers, you know, changing into writing a book or creative projects, you know, changing their clothes, waist size, etc. So yeah, I mean, to me, it's been very mind-blowing, because I've always been skeptical of so-called weight loss programs. Yeah, and I was waiting until this came along to add something to my clinic that would have benefits, but to be truly natural, where, you know, I think there's like 3 supplements that we add in, and then the rest of it's all the food, you know,
right.
It's all on them. So, and doing the right things and getting the coaching to help them through it. And I think what I wanted to say before I forget is that the scale used to be a negative feedback, like, oh God, I don't want to get on the scale again and see this number, to, oh, I'm getting on the scale this morning because yesterday I lost 2 pounds, and this week I lost 10 pounds. I want to see where I'm at today because this is exciting and this is positive. So that's what happens in the metabolic reset.
That's right. Now that 23 year old, that was 6 months, 60 pounds. You know, 2 rounds of the 6 week losing phases. So total 20 weeks actually on the program. And, you know, he didn't want to send a picture when he started and ended the first round. And I said, you know, hey, how about doing a live interview? Yes. Second time. Yes, absolutely. You know, he's gone from no picture to out there, you know, confidence, self-esteem, whatever you want to call it, and living the life a 23-year-old should do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I mean, I remember in the early 2000s on NPR or whatever, the people were listing out stats of obesity and diabetes and pediatric population climbing. And we've seen that happen. We've seen that come to fruition. So it's, you know, there's babies being born with type 2 diabetes, and that, you know, the average adults today are, all of us are way more than our grandparents and great grandparents weighed at the same age and height and stature. So, you know, it's, that's why I say it's not a disease, you know, like metabolic syndrome is a syndrome. It's a group of symptoms and lab criteria and waist circumference and all these things. But it can become heart disease, it can become dementia, it can become cancer. And, you know, we know that cancer is a metabolic component, it's highly metabolic. So, I mean, hopefully this has been helpful and motivating to people who are listening. And, I mean, I've even seen men's testosterone numbers come up before and after without anything else, without much else, just the metabolic reset, maybe an herb or two, and they've had a bump in their total testosterone, you know, at least 50 points. So for the guys listening, metabolic syndrome trashes our testosterone and can increase estrogen and cause that dysregulation and androgen balance. So I mean, there's a, from what we're saying, there's really only benefits. You know, 60 pounds in 20 weeks is pretty miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's not like the methamphetamine medications that they're using in conventional medicine for weight loss that are taxing the heart and getting people all addicted and hyped up on basically prescription speed. And, you know, the other container programs out there, which are just fake food and, you know, starving people and then saying, okay, well, we did a weight loss program, you know?
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah, I there's really no downside. I don't know if you've ever seen a downside, but I haven't.
I haven't. And, you know, people say, oh, this is hard. You know, it sounds hard what I'm talking to. It's not hard. It requires focus though. To, you know, you really need to drill down why you want to lose that weight. And I really didn't do that personally until after the fact, when I heard my daughter say, you know, you're like, you're different. You have more energy. You want to play, you want to do stuff, you know, that's the drill down. Why do I want to lose weight? I want to, you know, fit in smaller clothes. Why do you want to fit in smaller clothes? Well, so I can go buy clothes off the rack. Why do you want to do that? So I can look better. Why do you want to do that? So, you know, I go out with my, and you just drill down and ultimately comes down to that issue. I want to be there for my daughter. I want to be there for my son. I want to be there for my wife.
Right.
Not, I want to fit into three sizes smaller of pants. That's really a side issue. It's really the drill down of, you want to be there for your family. You want to do the best you can for your family, friend, whatever it may be for you personally, but there's always that why. And once you figure that out, and that's what I ask my clients, why? And sometimes they get like, you know, hey, stop asking me why, but
yeah,
it's, you know, because it's not the weight, is the weight you want to go, but there's other reasons why you want it to go. You want to be healthier. You want to live longer than your father. You want to be there. You know, your father, maybe your family died young. I want to be there later in life for my kids. That's the reason. So you focus on that.
Yeah.
Everything else just fades away and you just move right through the 6 weeks and but it's over before you know it.
Yeah. And I really have been blown away at how much people are losing. And so are my patients. And I mean, the other thing is, you know, even if someone doesn't have kids, I have clients that are entrepreneurs and they're just all about, you know, not just all about work, but they're all about work and their, you know, their hobbies and things and their wife or significant other. And a lot of them have been paying attention to like some of these people that want to live to 180 out there and, or live forever that are kind of popular in this natural medicine, functional medicine space. And I mean, if you want to live forever, you should probably be doing the metabolic reset every year, you know, like, at least every year, if not every 6 months, because I mean, it's kind of like a detox and spring and fall are the best times to do it. I've been promoting and kind of like educating people about it around Labor Day. And, you know, we're a month past that now, but if people start after Labor Day, you can finish before Thanksgiving and then you can partake in the holidays and see how much you gain back. But basically, you know, there's no easy time to do it and there's no right time to do it. It's just when you have that drive and dedication and discipline and you're ready to go and
even when you're
holding on to that.
And even when you're not quote unquote doing it, the program, you are, and I hear this from clients all the time, your taste buds have changed. And it's funny because people say, you know, I crave vegetables now. I crave vegetables. I crave fruit, you know, because now all of a sudden you're eating good and your body realizes it, your brain realizes it, you feel it, and you're like, you know, I haven't had a nice salad or some vegetables and piece like in a day. Like, I need to get back on that. So that's the other benefit that I've found. It's you start to crave healthier, better foods.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that too. And it definitely recalibrates, like you said, the taste buds and kind of like the feedback there and the cravings. I think what a lot of people call comfort food is they're, you know, craving things that they're basically eating their emotions, and it's giving them like a serotonin dump, like carbs do and sugar does. Usually it's dopamine and serotonin with like chocolate and stimulants like caffeine and stuff. But the point being is that healthy foods then can become your comfort foods. Like you're saying, like they're craving fruit and vegetables. Like you can have, you know, an apple and that now tastes sweeter than you ever knew because your taste buds are cleaned up and your body's detoxed and you've lost a lot of this, kind of toxic load in your body. And a lot of people are looking of like, okay, how do I do a detox? How do I do this? And we all make it too complicated.
Absolutely.
And this, you know, this program could be your biannual detox or annual detox.
We were on the cruise. Did I sample the desserts? Absolutely. But just like you mentioned, the apple is super sweet. Like you have a piece of pie, you have a bite of it. You're like, okay, that's plenty. Like it's so sweet. It's so overwhelming that you're like, wow. Or you have a bite of cake and you're like, I'm good. That's so overboard in the sugar category. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. So true. And there's no dessert on the metabolic reset. Well, there's fruit.
Fruit
is your dessert, which is actually really good for you. Does taste good. Any parting thoughts that you want to share with the audience or anything that we didn't cover that is coming to mind for you?
I think we covered quite a bit. I say to people, men, women, if you're listening to this, you've heard this, and you're thinking about it, reach out to Dr. Sam and, you know, get off the fence, at least learn some more about it. It's just, you know, if you don't keep looking and trying, you're not going to get anywhere. So, you know, this I have found, my clients have found, your clients have found, is just, it's designed around the lifestyle and not a hard lifestyle that, you know, you can travel with, you can go out to dinner with, you can be with friends and family with, and still be doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Losing weight and getting to where you want to be. So that's all I would, those are my parting words, you know, just, hey, if you're sitting on the fence, reach out and start thinking about it a little more.
Yeah.
Get off the fence.
I agree. Yeah. Get off the fence, do something, take action. So, Dr. Dave Bennett, I got your info to share with everybody. So you guys can check him out at his websites, www.metabolicreset.com and
Metabolic Body Reset.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Metabolicbodyreset.com. So metabolicbodyreset.com and then empoweredlivinginst.com.
Yep.
And you have a few things to share with people, two ebooks, 101 clean eating tips. So you guys can check that out. And another ebook, called Work in Progress on Leaky Gut, or
It's still a work in progress.
Oh, it's still a work in progress. I was like, is that? Okay.
Still a work in progress.
You guys, stay almost there. The Leaky Gut ebook as well. But meanwhile, you can take a bite out of the 101 clean eating tips. Dr. Dave and, is on Facebook, Metabolic Body Reset. You can find her on Facebook. And then
Institute. Did a YouTube channel for Metabolic Body Reset. And that's what is there, all the interviews that we've done with past clients, just their lives that we've downloaded from Facebook and then uploaded to YouTube. So you know, you can see the 23-year-old, you can see the nurse with who went from with their A1C from 11 to 5. They're on and listen to what they have to say. That's what I say. Don't hear it from me. Hear it from them. They did it.
That's excellent. Yeah, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, folks. So, you know, get off the pot, do something about it, take action. And, you know, your health is, and your life is worth every ounce of energy and penny that you would invest. And as I usually say, pay now or pay later. So
exactly.
Hopefully that gets the point across to folks. And again, thanks, Dave, for being on the show, and thanks for your time and sharing your experience and hope with everybody. And I
my pleasure.
Look forward to more people working with you and collaborating with you, and more people working with me and sharing notes, and so we can keep helping people feel and look their best.
Absolutely. And thanks for having me. You know, I can't talk enough about this program and how it's made an impact on my life, my clients' lives, and you know, you're out there and same thing. So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody, take care and have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening, and please share this podcast with your friends and family. Now, here's for my mandatory disclaimer. This is a medical information podcast and is only for general information purposes. It does not substitute or constitute the practice of medicine or any medical practices, including the giving of medical advice to any individual. And please observe that no doctor-patient relationship has been formed here. This medical podcast offers health, hormone, fitness, and nutrition information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitution for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional. Do not disregard, avoid, or delay obtaining medical or health-related advice and appropriate treatment from your healthcare professional. Users should seek the care of their physician or healthcare professional for any such conditions. The use of any information provided on this podcast is solely at your own risk. The contents and topics of this podcast have not been evaluated by the FDA nor approved by any other government or official body. The topics and content covered is not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease or disorder of any kind. Developments in medical research may impact the health, fitness, and nutritional advice that appears here on the podcast in the future episodes. No assurance can be given that the advice contained in this podcast will always include the most recent findings or developments in medicine with respect to the particular material covered. If you are in the United States and think you are having a medical or health emergency, call your healthcare professional or 911 immediately. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to hearing your feedback and looking forward to have you on future podcasts. Thank you.